Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is our first show. How about that? We're going to have some fun today talking about issues of faith, family, and freedom in Texas. If you're not familiar with our organization, Texas Values, you can find out more about us at www.txvalues.org. That's TX Values, an abbreviation of the state. Some really exciting things happening across the state. And what you'll learn on our website is about the mission of Texas Values and the Texas Values Report. Our goal with this show is to inform listeners on current issues in Texas that impact faith, family, and freedom in our state. We hope to activate listeners by telling them about what's happening across the state and how you can have an impact on these issues. And so I have been involved in this type of work for quite a long time, going back to my days at Liberty Institute. And speaking of Liberty Institute, this show is going to be very special, not only because it's our first, but we're going to hear from the president of Liberty Institute, Kelly Shackelford, later in the show. Kelly Shackelford's a board member of Texas Values, one of the initial board members and founding board members of Texas Values. But for many years, I've been involved as a lawyer, as an advocate, and really a voice across the state on these type of issues regarding faith, family, and freedom. So when you hear us talking about faith, family, and freedom, we know what those mean. You probably know what those mean. But particularly, we'll be talking about the issues of religious freedom. We'll be talking about the protection of innocent human life. We'll be talking about issues related to marriage and family as those come up in policy issues, come up in court cases, and really just come up in natural conversation and dialogue with people across the state. And so I have been truly honored and blessed to have a role in some of these issues across the state for a number of years. And so I was talking about that at the beginning. So going back to the days of Liberty Institute, I started as a lawyer. And you know, but it began much before that. I had a vision, if you will, a calling to get involved as an advocate, to be a voice for people that oftentimes did not have a voice. So growing up on the east side of Houston, you know, I had experiences when I was younger where people had their rights violated, or, you know, the people in the authority would hold people down. And oftentimes it would concern me to see people that would abuse their power or would take advantage of people and not allow them to have their rights. And so as growing up in a blue-collar, hardworking community, going to church every week and really learning about what it means to become an independent young man, an individual, but also what it means to become a Christian and stand up for those values. But you know, over the years, what I noticed was that call to service and that call to stand up for people started to develop more when I started to see things happening to Christians across the state and across the country. I can remember being a student at the University of Texas and listening on the radio, as a matter of fact, to Jay Sekulow. Many of y'all are probably familiar with Jay Sekulow, a First Amendment lawyer who defends the rights of Christians. But he was talking about these issues, talking about how people were having their rights taken advantage of and violated, and how the government or other individuals were trying to trample on people's rights, but particularly for Christians. And I remember reading his book, and he talked about this in one of the court cases he was working on. And he talked about how the reason that one of the cases he was working on had worked all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court was because the lawyers on the other side did not think that Christians would stand up for their rights. You know, I guess they thought we would just turn the other cheek. And so oftentimes these court cases that dealt with the religious freedom rights of Christians would go on and on for years, oftentimes simply because the other side thought eventually Christians would just give up, you know, that we would fold, we would wave the white flag and decide to give in on the issue. You know, maybe they thought we'd have a sense of forgiveness or whatever it was. But you know what? There certainly is value to us living what we believe and giving forgiveness when there's that opportunity and so on. But that doesn't mean that we allow the government power. We allow people to just take advantage of our rights or deny the God-given rights that we are given, the rights that are guaranteed in our Constitution, that are guaranteed in the First Amendment, and that are protected in so many state, federal, and local laws. And so I think it's important for people to understand that when we talk about advocating for our rights, when we talk about being involved in these issues, it's so often because if we allow something to go on, it just means somebody else is going to have their rights violated as well. It doesn't mean that because of our sense of forgiveness or our sense of concern or really trying to be reasonable in an issue means that it won't happen again. It's likely that almost guarantees that it'll happen again. And so I learned that at a young age, and really going back to the time when I was a student at the University of Houston Law Center. And so as you listen to this show and hear some of our updates, you'll see how we're on the front lines working on these issues. But before that time, I was a student having the rights violated as a group that I was leading. So I was leading a group called the Pro-Life Cougars at the University of Houston, and we simply wanted to have events on campus to talk about the issues that we were involved in, educate people about the value of life. But we found ourselves in the middle of a lawsuit because the university did not want to respect our free speech rights and our religious rights. And so lo and behold, we had to stand up for our own rights and file a lawsuit. And it was kind of interesting, as you could imagine, being a law student and suing your university. But thankfully, we had lawyers that stood with us. But I was there on the front line as a student, putting everything on the line, putting my legal career on the line for what I believed in and for what other people believed in that were standing with me. And we won that lawsuit, and there was certainly value to that. And it certainly gives me an insight of what it's like today as people continue to stand for those values. And we're going to hear a little bit more about religious freedom issues that are happening in our state currently. Kelly Shackelford's going to be joining us momentarily. And so I was talking about my history with Liberty Institute as a lawyer, having litigated cases with them for many years, and then started working on public policy issues at the Capitol when we would hear that there was more need from legislators to have advocates and experts on these issues at the Capitol. And so over time, with a lot more work on that issue, we reached a place to where these type of issues needed their own organization. And that's where Texas Values was born. And so 2 years ago, Texas Values was spun off, if you will, of Liberty Institute, and now it's become its own standalone organization. And so, but that remains to be one of the issues we work on in public policy and religious liberty. And so when Kelly joins us, we'll hear a little bit more about some things that they're doing. You know, the work that Kelly Shackelford has been involved in has been almost second to none. I mean, he's been in that same tier as Jay Sekulow and is considered one of the finest First Amendment lawyers in the country. But a big part of the work has been working on court cases here in the state of Texas. But there's been so many attacks on religious liberty across the country that now Liberty Institute works on cases all across the United States, not just in the state of Texas. And so, but we're going to have Kelly talk about some issues that they've been facing and working on here in the state of Texas, because you know, that's where our listeners are, and we want people to be informed by that. And so when he gets on the show, we'll talk about that. But, you know, our work at Texas Values goes quite beyond the area of litigation. And so I think we've got Kelly on with us. And so we're going to let him come in and talk a little bit about some of the religious liberty work that he's working on, but also his role with Texas Values.
I am.
Kelly's going to talk a little bit about the work that's going on and his connection with Texas Values and current work regarding religious liberty and religious freedom issues. You know, it's troubling when we think about the continued attacks that we see on religious freedom across the country, but particularly in our own state. I mean, just a few months ago, I was down in Houston when the mayor of Houston had the nerve to subpoena the sermon of pastors in that community that were talking about these issues from the pulpit. You know, when we talk about marriage and religious freedom, those issues have become so intertwined, and that's nothing new, but it's become more obvious to people because you simply have people that are talking about their faith, that are talking about the issue of marriage, the definition of marriage being one man and one woman, and then you've got people that disagree with that. And so when you have people speaking about this, all of a sudden people think that somehow that they're doing something wrong just because they're expressing their religious freedom rights. Kelly, great to have you with us on the show today. We were telling our listeners a little bit about the history of your connection with Texas Values and the great work that Liberty Institute is involved in, and really a little bit about your history. And I'll brag about you a little bit more when you get off the air with us, because there's a lot to say. But we're glad to have you. This is our first show talking to people across the Central Texas area about faith, family, and freedom, and also for people listening online. But a lot of people are familiar with your background and the work of Liberty Institute. What are some of the current issues that y'all are working on here in the state of Texas when it comes to religious freedom?
Well, we've as you mentioned, we've got a lot of cases going, over 100 in about 40 states around the country. So plenty of activity, but people think this stuff is happening somewhere else, and they don't realize that it, you know, especially a Texan think, well, that's not happening here. Well, yes, it is. We have tons of cases in Texas, and this is happening pretty much, you know, in every community and in every way of life. I mean, there's really no way to avoid this. Probably the ones that people might have heard about in the last, week or so. One which I would mention is the case we have where we're actually just defending the right of a synagogue to exist. This is a Jewish synagogue of Orthodox Jews that it's only 20 people, and they actually got sued by a neighborhood association to try to, you know, push the synagogue out of their neighborhood. We won that case, which shockingly, right, that people have religious freedom to practice their faith in their own neighborhood. But now the city of Dallas has turned around and filed a lawsuit against this poor little small congregation to try to really shut them down, because they're asking them to be fined $1,000 a day, which, of course, they don't have. And it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just clear harassment, and the arguments they're making would shut down a Bible study if you had, you know, 15 or 20 people in your home. It would shut down, you know, religious freedom has always been in people's homes and in neighborhoods, and but there's an attempt these days to get rid of that and to move that out of the city where they can have good tax-paying property instead of, churches or synagogues or these type of things. So we're having to fight for the right of the church to even be the church and a synagogue to be a synagogue.
Wow. So we're talking about government coming in and trying to restrict the religious freedom rights of a local faith-based entity. And I think it's interesting, we're talking about a synagogue. A lot of times people will think that the work we do, that you're involved in, that Texas Values involved in, that, oh, it only pertains to Christians. We know the religious freedom rights belong to everyone in our country. Great example here, a disheartening example, but an example here of how that's clearly the type of values that our organizations stand for, because religious freedom belongs to everyone. And so we know a lot of times it relates to Christians. Here we've got a Jewish entity and group that has the government on their back. Did you say $1,000 a day is the fine that they're being faced with?
$1,000 a day is what the city is trying to assess and fines, or what they're filing the lawsuit to be able to do against this poor synagogue. And again, we've been talking to them on behalf of the synagogue and said, hey, you know, tell us any issues you have, and they're happy to work with you. But instead, they just haul off and file a lawsuit. Since the neighborhood association, you know, lost their case, now the city is going to throw their power behind. Really, it would normally crush this small synagogue. I mean, there's only 20 members. And it's things, Jonathan, like, you know, when it comes to having a synagogue, well, you've got to have a certain number of parking spaces. Well, these are Orthodox Jews. They, by their faith, they can't drive cars on the Sabbath. So these are, wow, the kind of ridiculous things that are happening. They're trying to say you need parking spaces for a congregation that won't have cars there. So, yeah, but if you don't have them, we're going to fine you $1,000 a day. You can't do this kind of thing, really, which would be shutting down and telling them that they can't exist, because Jewish synagogues, Orthodox Jews, have to be able to be in walking distance because of the Sabbath restrictions they have and their ability to drive. So, really important case, but the big issue, meta issue behind it all is, look, people have been meeting in homes to worship for thousands of years. I mean, in virtually every nation on the earth. And, you know, you could be in a country that doesn't allow people to meet in homes and have a spiritual meeting. Those are countries like China, North Korea, Afghanistan, Yemen. But we can never allow that to happen in the United States.
Yeah, and it's striking, too, to think about our state being compared to some of those other countries. You know, a lot of people will think in the state of Texas that we have this robust religious freedom, you know, and the freedoms that we do have, we've obviously fought very hard for. You know, we even have state laws in place, but, you know, it's when these issues come up, You have to wonder of whether or not the religious freedom protections that we have, whether it's at the state level, whether it's a previous court case, whether it's really getting through to people, because we continue to see more and more of these cases right here in our own state.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've had this whole slew of cases, you know, that we've been having to do with regard to religious freedom in the military. And, you know, I mean, the first and biggest of those cases was Sergeant Monk, right? Right in San Antonio, so it's very much happening here, and I mean we're having to defend chaplains right now in the military who are being really told that their future is over because they mentioned their faith. I mean that's the job of a chaplain to mention their faith. But we had one example with the Joe Lawhorn who was asked to give a talk on depression and suicide, which is a big issue going on in the military.
You bet.
And when he did, he gave a personal example of how he struggled with that and how his faith was important to help him. That's exactly what you would think a chaplain would do, right? Instead, he was told a letter was put in his file and his career was therefore over. No more promotions, no more anything. Because he did what he's supposed to do. And we're actually having to go in and protect people like that. And so it's a shame, but it's happening. And in fact, it's happening a lot more than people hear. Because let's take that Sergeant Monk case we had in Texas, where they literally tried to take a guy that, you know, had been in the service for 19 and a half years, and we're going to end his career right before his pension vests at 20 years. Not only did we, you know, turn that situation around and win for him, but when his retirement ceremony, the pastor was sitting next to me, and he said, you know that I had another 9 people in my church that almost the same thing happened to, which was a violation of religious freedom. He said, but Sergeant Monk was the only one willing to stand up because of the danger to his career. And so the ones we're hearing about are just the tip of the iceberg. So this is definitely going on throughout Texas and in every state in the country, these attacks.
I think that's a great point, because so oftentimes we'll hear cases come up and, you know, you'll hear about it. The lawsuit was filed. There's a press conference and there's a lot of discussion and articles being written. And then sometimes you don't hear about how they're resolved, you know, but you hear about some of these cases and people will think, you know, oh, okay, well, you know, but yeah, didn't that case end up winning? Or, you know, and sometimes it takes years. I mean, you know, I know Liberty Institute and the time that I was there, I mean, there are cases that have gone on for 5, you know, 6, 7, 10 years, you know, that go on, seem to go on forever. And then, you know, at some point, maybe there's a victory, but people will think that, you know, that that's just going to happen every time, you know, and I know the young lady out west of San Antonio, Angela Hildebrand, when she was going to give a speech at her graduation prayer, remember the judge there said, not only could she not pray, but even if she said the word prayer, that she'd be incarcerated. And so now thankfully that got overturned at the appellate level, but people oftentimes take for granted the type of pressure that these people are under when this happens, what they put on the line, what they could lose if the case is not successful, and sometimes what they end up losing anyway, just having to go through that. A lot of times they have to find another place to work, or it becomes very difficult for them to continue to live in that community, even if they may even have success. And really, I think that falls at the feet of the government when they abuse their power in these ways.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, look, I'm just so thankful for people like Sergeant Philip Monk, Master Sergeant Philip Monk, like Angela Hildebrand. I mean, they're heroes because they're not standing for their situation. They're standing for millions of people who are going to come behind them. And so that's why when you see these cases, and the cases are everywhere. In fact, we on our website at libertyinstitute.org, there's a book that it's called Undeniable, but it lists all the attacks going on around the country. It's over 1,400 of these all across the United States, attacks on religious freedom. Those are just the ones that we know about. So, again, for everyone you know about, there are many, many more that people are just, you know, not doing anything about. So this is a real issue. And look, religious freedom is our first freedom. If you lose that freedom, you'll lose all your freedoms, your political freedoms, everything else. So it really is a cause for attention and alarm, and really for commitment for people to say, you know, I'm going to be an Angela Hildebrand or whoever else. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that these freedoms are here for my children and my grandchildren.
Well, Kelly, well said. Thank you for your time with us today on the Texas Values Report, and thank you for being a part of the board and a founding board member of Texas Values. And I think there are a lot of people across the state that continue to be grateful for your leadership, you know, as a lawyer, but particularly as a Christian, the example that you continue to set and, you know, the work that you continue to be involved in with Liberty Institute and in the state of Texas as well, is quite important. And so we'll continue to pray for you, but also to let people know about the work you're doing. And we're glad to have a friendship with your organization and with you and your family. And we look for that to continue. And so, and we'll look forward to having you back on because unfortunately, we know there'll be more of these issues coming up and people want to get updated on them.
Well, absolutely. And hey, I couldn't be prouder of the job that Texas Values is doing. I mean, nobody really fills that void, and it's so important that somebody is there in the legislature fighting for really what most Texans really do believe in. But they're busy, you know, raising their kids, you know, going to work. I mean, doing the things of their family, and to have Texas Values, you know, not only fighting in the legislature and everything it's doing there, but to be sending that information out so that they know that somebody is the scout for all that, so that all the grassroots and people across the country can speak out on the issues and make sure their values, you know, aren't being lost in Texas. That's just a crucial, you know, instrumentality. And so Texas Values is filling a void that really no one else does.
Thank you, Kelly. I couldn't have said it better. Well, appreciate having you on, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks a lot.
Wow, what a joy to have Kelly on with us. And so he almost did a better job than I could of talking about the mission of Texas Values. But if you're not familiar with the organization, you can find out about us at txvalues.org. You'll find that our mission is to preserve and advance a culture of family values in the state of Texas. And our vision is to stand for biblical Judeo-Christian values by ensuring that Texas is a state in which religious liberty flourishes, families prosper, and every human life is valued. You'll find on our website that we do work in public policy research, public education, and standing for the truth in the media. We get involved with the grassroots, voter education, reviewing legislation, presenting testimony and analysis to our state leaders on these issues. And so our work is quite diverse. You'll even see us getting involved in some court cases. There are some issues that we actually are filing lawsuits on and being involved in that our partners at Liberty and friends at Liberty Institute are not involved in, particularly on the issue of marriage. And so I'm really excited about those opportunities to do that. And speaking of our website, there's a great resource on there that I want you to check out. It's called the Texas Legislative Guide. Just came out a couple weeks ago. All the information about who the elected officials are in the state of Texas, how you can get engaged in the legislative process. It's a free booklet that you can download. You can also order it and ask for copies to be sent. But that's a free resource that we have. We are a nonprofit organization, and so if that's something that you feel called to support, it does cost us quite a bit of money to produce those resources, but we do that so you can stay engaged and get involved. You know, speaking of the legislative process, very interesting event that we were involved in just last week, 2 weeks ago, the Faith and Family Day at the Texas Capitol. You might have seen that because the day after the Faith and Family Day, there was a cover on the front page of the Austin American Statesman, of all places, on Wednesday of that week, right after our event. And it had a very interesting picture. And the picture was of state lawmakers cutting a cake with us in the background as well. But in the picture was a cake showing the 10-year anniversary of our marriage laws being in place. 2005 is when we put in our state constitution, marriage between one man and one woman. And so had a bunch of legislators there. They were excited about celebrating that. And it was really about celebrating marriage as well. But apparently, I think the Austin American Statesman had a little more interest than you might have imagined in that. But what was great about it, the picture's on the front page. But what was even better was that the word Christ appeared. Of all places to see the word Christ on the front page of the American Statesman, Austin American Statesman, was quite interesting and really special. And so the reason it was there is because our Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick made a statement about Jesus Christ and about the issue of marriage and religious freedom. And so we were excited and encouraged by that. You know, it's a big part of why we do the work we do is to educate people, to get information out there, to get people to start dialoguing and talking and having discussions about why these issues of faith and family family matter and what they come down to. And so, and to encourage people and give them the confidence to be a public witness for their values and for their faith and not to be afraid of that. And so, we have an event that we're going to be speaking at next week, speaking of religious freedom, and this is going to be in the Houston area. If you are close to that area, or if you're going to be traveling, or if you're listening to us online, but this is going to be the National Stand Pastor Summit. And so we're going to be speaking there. You can find more information about that at our website. So we want you to get engaged there. But we, what we want you to do this week is to go to our website at txvalues.org, find out more about what we're doing, find out more about what's happening on the issues of faith, family, and freedom, download or order a copy of our Texas Legislative Guide, and get engaged and start to educate yourself and the folks around you about what's happening on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Travis County, one judge issued a marriage license, and really it was a statement as well. And it was a marriage license for a same-sex couple. A lot of people have declared war, if you will, on our marriage laws. We know there's a case at the Supreme Court that's going to have an impact or possibly have an impact on this issue. So we want you to be engaged. So if you go to our website, txvalues.org, you'll find out more about what's happening across the state on faith, family, and freedom. We also ask you to go on there, sign up for our email alerts. There's a little link on there at the top about how you can get our emails weekly so you can stay engaged on these issues and stay informed. You know, we're going to do our part. I've been involved in this work for over 10 years, so you can count on me and our organization to keep you up to date and engaged. But give us an opportunity to let you see what's happening by signing up for our email that you can get weekly and directing people to our website as well. Now, you can also find us on Facebook. We do have a Texas Values Facebook page that's linked to as well. Those are the best ways for you to get engaged. So if you care about faith, family, and freedom, that's the place to go. So thanks for being a part of us on this first show, and there's more great things to come for us at the Texas Values Report.